Victims' families have called for the Northern Ireland Secretary of State to resign over comments she made about the Troubles. Karen Bradley said killings at the hands of the security forces were not crimes and that they were, quote, fulfilling their duties in a dignified and appropriate way. She later backtracked, did a complete and utter U-turn in the Commons, but she didn't admit she did a U-turn. She said her comments had been open to interpretation, nor did she say sorry. Kate and I spoke to Manuel live last night. Her brother was killed on Bloody Sunday. I asked her for her reaction to what the Secretary of State said.
Gosh, I was stunned. I couldn't believe she said it. And then when I thought over what she was saying, that was a pretty sweeping statement. That probably hurt every innocent victim in this country.
What would you say to her?
I would say to her, how can murder be dignified?
And remember, no apology from the Secretary of State, no admission that she got it wrong, no admission that she was backtracking. Her comments, she said, were open to interpretation. I also, on Northern Life last night, spoke to the former head of the British Army, Lord Dannett. He told me that, quote, bad things happened on Bloody Sunday, but life moves on.
In 1972, when I was a platoon commander on the streets of Northern Ireland, I knew who were top of the wanted list in Belfast and in Londonderry. I became head of the British Army. Others became head of political institutions in Northern Ireland. Life moves on. As far as Bloody Sunday is concerned, bad things happened.
Before we get to Bloody Sunday, what does that mean? Life moves on. It doesn't move on for a family member looking at an empty chair tonight,
no.
Or for anyone who lost a loved one. Life doesn't move on for them. What do you mean by that?
And it doesn't move on for my driver, who was shot dead beside me, or the widow of my company commander, whose body I carried to a helicopter. Those things happened. If you want life to move on, you've got to actually think about the bigger issues and think about what kind of community and society do people want to live in the future.
The commentators Alison Morris and Newton Emerson with us this morning. Alison, morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Newton, what do you make of what was said there?
Well, I think that indicates the general view that there should be a Troubles amnesty. That's certainly a very general view, I think, within the army. And I think it's important to remember that in 2006, the British government and Sinn Féin agreed a general amnesty for each other, for former paramilitaries, former security force personnel, and they got that all the way to legislation in Westminster before the SDLP complained about it sufficiently to embarrass them out of it. And I think that remains the default preferred option for both sides. If you look at things like the on-the-run letters, for example, and the long process by which they evolved, there was a general assumption after the Good Friday Agreement that although we hadn't mentioned dealing with the past in it or an amnesty, the prisoner release scheme effectively implied that was the direction of travel. We should be heading for an amnesty. And I think that's the background context to legacy. This view that you know we should have gone in that direction, but legally and politically it all became impossible.
Alison,
what we do know is there was a Westminster Defence Committee a few years ago who recommended a statute of limitations, which is in effect an amnesty for members of the armed forces, but that was legally unenforceable. You cannot have an amnesty for one section and not for all. So any statute of limitations or amnesty or whatever you want to call it would have to apply to everybody. And I think that that's where they run into difficulties. And what we're seeing now is, Newton's right, clearly the preferred option of the British government is they want a line in the sand for many reasons. They don't want to have to pay for this anymore. They don't want to have to be answerable to it anymore. And they don't want to open their books on it anymore. So what we have seen now is a general with nothing backbencher Tory MPs in relation to state killings. And some of the language I found really interesting because, you know, we've heard MPs saying, oh, you know, we send our boys off to war and now they're being prosecuted 40 years later. Well, as far as I know, and we've heard during the Brexit negotiations, that Northern Ireland is an integral part of the UK and we can't have different arrangements on Brexit. So how then could we have a war? You know, as far as I know, there's no country in the world that has ever declared war with itself. We can't have a, it was not a war, and these are not war rules, and the rules of engagement in war did not count here. And the fact is, we either have justice that is applied as it was meant to be applied, whereas if there is evidence that you have committed a crime, well, then you go in front of a trial of a jury, or in Northern Ireland's case, a Diplock judge, and they decide whether you're guilty or whether you're innocent. And the fact of that, if you take that away, you're taking that away from everyone. And I think the problem is the British government have wound down the clock on legacy. They didn't want to deal with it originally, and so they let it go. And we did have what amounted to an amnesty for about 10 years after the Troubles, because there were no investigations and there were no arrests. It was only through victims, groups and families that they had started now. And I think that now they realise that they should have dealt with this a long time ago, and the manner in which they're dealing with it, I think, is causing a great deal of hurt to an awful lot of people.
Here's the first call of the day, Brian in West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. Appropriate and dignified, that's two words that come to mind when I heard this statement. So ridiculous, so disrespectful to the families of these people who were murdered. I said yesterday, too, that the same situation had happened in London, which has been a bad situation in Redden. And can you imagine, Stephen, the army coming on and shooting people dead on the street in London? Never will ever happen. They seem to come over here and can do what they want and get away with it. She should resign. And I'm calling if any our politicians, whether it's Sinn Féin, SDLP, whoever's out there, boycott or Karen Bradley, if he's from over here, don't meet her. Don't have any talk with her. She should resign after what she said yesterday.
The Oceanist MLA, Doug Beattie, listening to this morning. What's your reaction to that, Doug? Should she go?
Well, I think, the whole thing is extremely sensitive, Stephen. And we get to certain tipping points in regards to legacy. And I think we're at a major tipping point at the minute where we must be really mindful of what we say and what we do. And we know that there's going to be an announcement on whether there'll be prosecutions for the Bloody Sunday incidents and killings, murders, whatever way you want to call it, on Tuesday. So in that, I think Karen Bradley should have been alive to that situation. And she has clearly put her foot clearly in her mouth standing up in Westminster. And I think she knows that. And I'm glad that she did come back 3 hours later. And I'm glad she did clarify it. And her clarification makes far more sense. So I think she absolutely should apologise. I think she should apologise for the victims, certainly the victims of Bloody Sunday, so they fully understand what she meant. And that would be the right thing to do. But there's a wider context in all of this, Stephen, and I think we've heard a bit of that from Alison and Newton, and that is we have never dealt with legacy properly. And we need a proper joined-up approach to legacy, which isn't piecemeal, which is victim-centred, victim-focused, and we just do not have that at this moment in time. There's extremely poor leadership being shown in regards to this.
Let's just remind ourselves what Karen Bradley first of all said in the Commons. Let's remind ourselves what she said.
Over 90% of the killings during the Troubles were at the hands of terrorists. Every single one of those was a crime. The fewer than 10% that were at the hands of the military and police were not crimes. They were people acting under orders and under instruction and fulfilling their duties in a dignified and appropriate way.
So every one of the attacks by the paramilitaries were crimes, and obviously they were, but all of the others, Doug Beattie, were not crimes. They were. What were they?
Well that's plainly wrong and a pretty stupid statement to make, and I think we all know that's a pretty stupid statement to make.
But does the Secretary of State think the people of this country are stupid when she then stands up and says this? This is her backtracking. This is the U-turn, which she calls a misinterpretation, open to interpretation. Have a listen.
I wish to clarify the comments which I made earlier today to the House during Northern Ireland orals in response to a question raised by the Honourable Member for South Belfast, which I believe might have been open to misinterpretation. At oral questions, I referred to deaths during the Troubles caused by members of the security forces. The point I was seeking to convey was that the overwhelming majority of those who served carried out their duties with courage, professionalism and integrity and within the law. I was not referring to any specific cases, but expressing a general view. Of course, where there is evidence of wrongdoing, it should always be investigated, whoever is responsible. These are, of course, matters for the police and prosecuting authorities who are independent of government.
Open to interpretation, Doug.
Well, I can't say this any more ways than I've said it to you already, Stephen, and that is her original statement was stupid and was wrong and it was insensitive, and she's had to backtrack, and she's clearly backtracked, and that she should apologise, and she must apologise. But the reality of this remains the same, that the 10% of the killings that were perpetrated by the military, the vast majority of them were absolutely legal and right. Now, if you take the likes of Loughall, that was force on force and was absolutely right. Bloody Sunday was not. And if there is evidence against those people who killed those innocent civilians, then the law must be seen to run its course. And if they have to be brought to court, then they should be brought to court. And I've gone on the record on multiple occasions, Stephen, that, you know, regardless of whether you're a soldier, whether you're a policeman, whether you're a terrorist, a member of the public, or even a politician, you are not above the law and you should face the law. It's as simple as that.
James in Derry, Barry in Belfast. Morning, James.
Hello, Stephen. I just have a first quick one to Doug. Just that, when he says about the vast majority were legal, I only ever hear about Loughall, eight murders and like eight killings a day, as he would say, 8 out of 400. No, but I'm actually ringing in on behalf of a lot of people who I know who would not ring in the programme. Paul Doherty, whose dad was killed on Bloody Sunday. Paul Young, whose uncle was killed on Bloody Sunday, Jerry Doherty, whose brother was killed on Bloody Sunday, Darren Kelly, whose uncle was killed on Bloody Sunday, the McGavigan family, the McConomy family, 14-year-old, 11-year-old, killed by British soldiers. I'm only ringing in to say that these people will not have a voice in the radio today. Doug, Newton, Emerson, they will all have their point of view, but the real hurt, the hurt that was allowed whenever King's Mill victims were allowed to express their hurt, a lot of the people from Bloody Sunday and a lot of the other atrocities carried out by soldiers will never have their voice heard in the BBC. They'll never hear. A few will, and they were allowed last night, and ashes and things, but a lot of them will never ever voice their anger. I want that they just phone and they say that they, as my friends, I would love to say their disgusting remarks will finish me forever and ever voting for anything to do with the DUP again. Because Sammy Wilson, a member for East Antrim, sat and nodded in agreement with what Karen Bradley says.
Well, you don't know he was nodding in agreement. He certainly was nodding, but you do not know.
Sorry. Okay, right then. They sat nodding just in case it might have been an agreement. But the point is, Stephen, if you know anything about parliamentary procedures, that question was known to Karen Bradley. She was given that question, and that wasn't an off-the-cuff remark. That question was given to her, and the answer would have been given to the DUP. Anyone that knows anything about Prime Minister's question times, Northern Ireland question times,
well, I don't
times,
know that,
any question.
Actually. I don't
well,
know
the point
that.
Is, well, you always try to inform people. I'm trying to inform you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's very kind of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you know anything about Stormont? Do you know that the questions were given to the parties before it and given to the person who was taking the questions? That's unnatural.
Do you think the voices of the families of police officers who were so brutally killed and soldiers who were so brutally attacked, do you think their voices are heard enough?
Can I ask you, and with a bit of respect, can you just listen to my answer? This is not about that. Karen Bradley did not speak about soldiers, policemen or innocent members of the unionist community killed by the IRA or any other organisation. That is not what we were having.
But do you think they're heard enough?
You should not be changing it. On the day of King's Mill, the questions asked about Barry Michael Duff, it did not change over to anything else. It did not change over to Loughall. It did not change over to Aidan McInnesby. It did not change. Do not change the narrative.
But do you think they're heard enough?
They are heard every single day. Your show hears their voices every single day. Your show hears constantly about the Protestants and the Unionists and the police and the RUC have been killed. Every single BBC programme that has ever been made in the last 40 years has mentioned it. Even this programme today, after such a disgusting remark, you cannot help but mention someone else dying. You cannot let it just sit and remember the victims that Karen Bradley mentioned. Why does it have to be about whataboutery? Why? Please explain to me why we are talking about policemen today when Karen Bradley never mentioned policemen, never mentioned soldiers who were killed. She's talking about their victims.
Well, she did, of course. She said in her
opening... Stephen McConnelly was 11 years of age. 11 years of age, hit by a plastic bullet and killed from yards away. Annette McGavigan, 1971, shot in the back of the head, wear school uniform on at 14 years of age. Do not equate those killings with someone that say the like of a bomb or someone that talk about attacking policemen. We're talking about innocent victims. You keep mentioning innocent victims. Unjustified and unjustifiable is not dignified. Please have a once for once in this show, do not allow it to become about the IRA. This is not about the IRA. It is not about the INLA, it's not about the UVF, not about the UDA. For once, speak about who committed the crimes and let the victims have their voice without trying to equate it.
Stephen Farry.
And I really appreciate your time for letting me call in on behalf of my friends and family who are disgusted at that remarks.
Stephen Farry listening to this morning. Morning, Stephen, from the Lions Party. What do you make of what you've just heard?
Well, what happened yesterday was completely appalling, totally inaccurate remarks. I mean, the sweeping generalisation that was made neglects the fact that the government themselves have already recognised that in many cases the British Army did do wrongdoing, and indeed that there was successful prosecutions of soldiers. And we have indeed some live cases. I mean, I sat through the Valley Murphy inquest yesterday morning and heard some very difficult testimony that was being put across almost at the same time as these comments were being made. Next week we're hearing whether or not there's going to be prosecutions in relation to Bloody Sunday. So for her to jump and make that sweeping generalisation...
That was written down. She wasn't talking off the cuff. It was written down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was a supplementary question, so she may have been thinking on her feet, but she's been here long enough to know the ins and outs of all of this. She knows what she should be saying. There's been plenty of discussions around this issue. This is not something obscure that came up from left field that she had to address on her feet. She's been talking about this for many, many months. She's done a consultation around the Stormont House institutions, and we just set Doug Booty right there. I mean, whatever Doug says, we need a comprehensive process for dealing with our past. We have that through Stormont House. The challenge is getting that over the line. It needs a few tweaks for sure, but let's not fool ourselves. We have that option now with that comprehensive process just ahead of us.
You mentioned there, Stephen, that we will hear next week whether there will be prosecutions in relation to Bloody Sunday. I don't know how many of you clocked what Eamon McCann said on Nolan Live last night. Let's just have a listen.
One of the disparities or the imbalances which is going on here is that none of the senior officials who control the British Army is being put in the dock. You see, if I were one of the guys sort of who finishes, and they are, there's going to be prosecutions announced on the 14th. If I was one of the lower...
Well, we don't
orders,
know that.
Okay, but I actually do. But anyway, I can assure you.
Did you clock that, Newton? I actually do. He says he's definitively said he knows there will be prosecutions.
Well, I think in terms of prejudicing an ongoing procedure, that's as bad as anything Karen Bradley said, really.
It'll be interesting to we're trying to get Eamon McCann to establish how does he know. Alison Morris, you were sitting in the studio last night, and he was certain about this.
Yeah, and I think it was a Daily Telegraph reported last week that there was going to be soldiers prosecuted. I think that the prosecutorial decision usually is made long in advance before we hear about it. It'll have been made probably maybe a week or two ago, and I'm assuming that someone, maybe or not, it's that someone who deals with the families or someone else has been informed of that. I'm not sure. I'd only be speculating. You'd have to ask him himself. But, I mean, I think that the issue with what Karen Bradley said, and we know with Lister's quoted in the Irish News today saying the same thing, is that now that there's going to be a trial, what she has said, just as we had, is going to prejudice anything that could happen. I mean, you couldn't possibly have a jury trial in relation to this now, given all the speculation that's been thrown out, and even finding a Diplock judges who are unconnected to this in any way is going to be difficult. And I think as a politician, such a senior politician, and one who, when she came here, Stephen, came here and said she was going to represent us all, that she was an independent broker, that she could sure talk, that she didn't take sides. And then to say something like that, and I think it tainted her. Her words were hurtful. And we always say, as politicians, you yourself, me, we've all got a responsibility when we're speaking, if you have a public platform. And you can use your words to hurt, or you can use them to heal. And she used hers yesterday to hurt. And I know many people who I spoke to, and my own cousin who I spoke to yesterday, whose brother was murdered by a British soldier, they were hurt by that. And I think that was a bad day in the office for her all round. And the best thing she could do is to come forward now, to admit that she was wrong, to apologise for those people she's hurt, and then step back and let the judicial process take its course. And second of all, the British government need to implement the legacy mechanisms that were, as Stephen Farry said, already agreed, and stop letting this run on the way it is, which is just completely re-traumatising for people, regardless of who you are, regardless of whether you're an RUC widow, regardless if you're a mother whose child was killed with a plastic bullet, regardless if you're waiting on a bloody Sunday decision. The British government need to act, because it's their fault. There's no point in her standing up and giving off about prosecutions of soldiers. When the British government did this, they wound the clock down on this. They refused to implement something that would be agreed and something that could help and be victim-centred. Instead, they thought if they delayed it long enough, everybody who was involved would die and they wouldn't have to do anything about it.
Here's Miriam Lurgan. Morning, Mary.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, we spoke about this so many times before. But Stephen, I'm just absolutely horrified at her words. As a young woman, I don't think that she even lived through the troubles to know what she's speaking about, because she wouldn't have come out with those words if she had really have looked into it. I only want to say to you that what happened on Bloody Sunday, it was terrible. It provoked a lot of killings thereon after. My husband was shot dead a year to the day of Bloody Sunday, January 73. That was January 72. 46 years later, I'm still waiting on recognition and justice. I will never see it, Stephen. I'll be dead and gone, and then I'll probably know about it then. But to me, the British Army were sent over to stop the killings in Northern Ireland, but by some provoked. I'm not saying now they were all bad, and I know there was police, and there was police widows, soldier widows, left the very same as me. My heart went out to them as well, because their hearts were broke. But, I mean, for her to come out with that statement simply meant to me yesterday was, your husband was shot dead by UVF that are still active in Belfast 46 years ago at 23 years of age, meant nothing. That's what I took from that, Stephen. And I would say a lot of more people that feel like me felt the very same.
Would it matter to you if she apologised?
Well, Stephen, honestly, she would need to do something, and I'll tell you, I would love her to ring me today, and I would love to say to her, Karen, if you had been in my shoes 46 years ago at 21, and the way the judge spoke down to me because I was a Catholic widow, I was made like dirt in that courtroom, Stephen. But you see me now, I told James Brokenshire a year ago when I met him in Stormont that wouldn't happen today, because you know what, Stephen? I wouldn't let it happen today. Because I'm a better woman today than I was all those years ago.
Does she need to apologise, Newton?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that this would be an opportunity for a proper, meaningful apology. But it's not going to come. We saw in her clarification statement yesterday that it's politically impossible to say that in the House of Commons, because the prosecution of former British soldiers for troubles crimes is simply not a goer in Britain. The media and the rest of Parliament will not accept it. And that really is the context behind this remark by the Secretary of State. If you look at the question she was responding to, that was from the DUP's Emma Little-Pengelly. Pengelly asked when the Secretary of State was going to bring in a mechanism for the 90% of terrorism-related murders. And Bradley didn't answer that question. What she said instead was, the other 10% are not crimes. That's her priority, not an answer to the DUP. The DUP doesn't want the amnesty implied by letting soldiers off the hook. It's the rest of Westminster that simply will not wear any kind of prosecution for these offences from the Troubles. And where that points to is an amnesty. It's I believe that the consequence of this remark is that anyone that pushes it further is just going to force politically the question of some kind of fudge that amounts to a general Troubles amnesty.
The SDLP MLA, Daniel McCrossan. Morning, Daniel.
Morning, Stephen.
Would apology be enough? Does she need to resign? Or has she done enough rolling back from it, although she hasn't admitted she's rolled back from it?
The comments that the Secretary said yesterday are absolutely appalling and have sent huge shockwaves right throughout every community in Northern Ireland. And today, it's very clear that she is not going to move into the square to apologise. She's not going to roll back. She's standing by her comments. And Newton makes a very interesting point, that this seems to be the direction of the British government, and also Alison Morrison in saying that the British government have this agenda of simply waiting to all those who are affected day out, and therefore there's no one to battle this. The Secretary of State needs to resign. It's very clear that the Secretary of State is out of touch with the reality, the complexities and the insensitivities around our past and in Northern Ireland generally, and yesterday very clearly reflects that. It's a very worrying statement. It's a very damaging statement. I don't see how she can come back from this, and I certainly believe, particularly with her absence generally in the affairs of Northern Ireland and with her lackadaisical approach to issues affecting this place, I do believe that this is the last straw and that she should resign. This is very hurtful. And listen to Kate Ash last night on your show, Stephen, shows very clearly the real sense of hurt that exists in many families out there that are affected and have waited a long number of years for justice and for truth, and for the British government to continue doing what they're doing. And for the Secretary of State, they're supposed to be a representative of the people of Northern Ireland, not taking sides or anything else, to come out with those comments. I don't believe there's a way back for her.
Here's George in the Shankill. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. Just a couple of things. Alison will confirm this. I mean, this is getting, you know, this is getting sort of put across now that unionists don't want convictions. You know, Alison, we were at a legacy meeting in East Belfast, and it was attended by all shades of unionism, and including ex-RUC widows in that there, and ex-paramilitaries who'd done significant time in jail. And the question was asked in the room, do we all feel, or does everyone feel, or we have a show of hands, that if there was murder committed, be it police, army, civilian, anything at all, should they be pursued through the courts? And it was 100%. I think Alison was shocked at the time at the response to that. But, you know, as a unionist and looking at this legacy thing, you have to look at the bigger picture of what we're seeing. A guy mentioned in your show last night about the decommissioning and weapons not being tested. You know, we're looking at that, and we're also looking at just before the Troubles ended, the IRA bombing of the forensic lab at Beaver, therefore destroying thousands upon thousands of pieces of evidence that could have got victims' families, you know, justice. And then we had, you know, I mentioned in talk back 2 weeks ago, the decommission. Now, Alison did point out last night that it was unionists and the DUP asked for the decommissioning, but it wasn't unionists and the DUP demanded that the weapons were not forensically tested. Therefore, again, denying thousands and thousands of victims truth and justice. You know, and then the most important part from last night, you've mentioned it before I got on there, but Eamon did say last night, he gave you a guarantee. He said to you, sitting in the thing, because I tweeted you right away, that he guaranteed it that there will be prosecutions, and he sort of indicated that Kate Nash at the end, don't worry, it will be coming. So therefore, does Eamon know something that the rest of us don't know? And that would be a hell of a leak of information if he does.
Well, I challenged him about that he didn't know that, and he came back and said he is certain. He does. He said, he used the words, I can assure you. Like, I'll let you listen to them again. This is Eamon McCann from last night on Nolan Live. Have a listen to this, George.
One of the disparities or the imbalances which is going on here is that none of the senior officials who control the British Army is being put in the dock. You see, if I were one of the guys sort of who finishes, and they are, there's going to be prosecutions announced on the 14th. If I was one of the lower...
We don't know that.
Okay, but I actually do. But anyway, I can assure you.
I actually do. I can assure you. So we're scrambling to try to get, you know, enough. How does he actually know?
Well, have you listened to the last comments too to Kate Nash? He smiled at Kate, and I hope Kate does get justice, along with the Paul Murphy family, but along with every other family in this country, you know. And looking at this legacy thing, you know, it's just going to bring more surmountable problems. Just looking at it from a unionist perspective, you know, it is imbalanced. And you've done a documentary up here in the Shankill Bomb, and you'll confirm this. You know, the families of the Shankill Bomb were as concerned for every other family in Northern Ireland as the war for themselves. And we have certain MLAs from North Belfast on pontificating, telling us that the rule of law must apply across the board, and the rule of law must apply across the board to everyone. We're sitting up here after digging body parts out from... I could go into 7 or 8 bombs, you know, from the four-step in 71 to bombing the Balmoral showroom 2 weeks before Christmas with a kill Catholics and Protestants, you know, but we're still waiting on the fourth man. You know, and if the MLAs from North Belfast, it's on the show and on the news on a regular basis, pontificating and telling us that we need truth and justice and the rule of law needs to apply them, put the fourth man that was driving the car that day on the shankle forward for questions.
Well, they can't put him. They can't put him forward. No, it's up to the police to go and find him, and that's what it is.
Well,
the job of the PSNI to do.
If it is about equality and across the board victims getting justice, let's put it all in the melting pot.
Okay.
And look at it all in the round instead of just directing it at one section of the community or one section of the security forces.
Okay. Listen, thank you. Morning to you.